You didn't expect us to get through a whole hour on woods and forests without quoting Robert Frost, did you? The woods are lovely, dark, and deep. It's from his famous poem, Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening. Frost lived in Vermont, and that's where we go next. Anne's taking a walk with Stephen Long, the founder of Northern Woodlands Magazine. He and his wife live on 95 acres in central Vermont.
You moved here when? How long have you been here?
We've been here since 1988. It was a chance to really spend time with owning a piece of land, which is a whole different thing for us. Mary and I met in Santa Fe, and so it was...
It's a pretty different landscape.
Very different landscape. And so we were anxious to come back home. Oh. Yeah.
And you said owning a piece of land, managing a woods like this is different from, I guess, just walking through it or vacationing there. What's different?
What's different is you it's readily accessible every day. I know these woods so well by now after more than 20 years of being in them. I know where I am every second of the way. And you get off the trail, which is, you don't. In fact, you're discouraged from getting off the trail when you're hiking. And so who knows what the woods are like even 50 feet into the woods. To me, getting out between the trails and seeing what's out there is what's really exciting about it.
Well, let's walk in yours a little bit. Show me what you see.
Okay, that's great. Here, this started out as a pine forest, and it's younger than a lot of the other forests that we'll walk through.
Now, somebody told me that if you go back, I don't know, 100 years or something, there were hardly any trees in Vermont. That can't be true. I think of it as America's northern woodland.
It's absolutely true. And, well, it was forest when European settlers arrived. Progress is agriculture in our culture, and we settled this land and we took down all of the forest. So 95% forest when European settlers arrived. By 1840 it was probably 20% forest, and as the West got opened up, there was a whole-scale farm abandonment, and so now it's reversed. It's about 80% forest now.
It's sort of comforting to know that these woods probably didn't exist 100 years ago, and yet now look at them.
Yeah, people walking in here would assume that this is an old growth forest, and it's so far from it. I mean, it's a 75-year-old forest, and forests are incredibly dynamic. They're always changing. One tree gets cut down, others come in its place.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go up, and I want to show you this. There's a small line of trees here. There's no flat ground in Vermont, as far as I can tell. Very steep.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so these are a couple hundred years old. It's amazing that they're still standing. It's probably, I don't know, a 40-inch diameter tree, something like that. It's a sugar maple.
Now, this tree's really old, and it's got some life in it still, but when it finally does die and doesn't have many more leaves, will you cut it down?
No. It'll die in place, and you'll see right there on the ground, there's some that's fallen. Here's some more. There's just tons of life in here. Here's the inside of this old tree. And it's just teeming with life. If you sit really still and just let things happen, I've seen fishers come and they'll just walk up that trunk, just listening and smelling and looking to see. They know that a trunk like that on the ground is a magnet for small animals, and they're always looking for food. That's their job.
And all of this, I suppose, if you just went for a hike in the woods, you wouldn't see. You really have to either own or get to know a piece of land intimately to see that kind of life.
With us talking, we're making sure that we don't see anything. The birds don't mind. You can still hear birds around. Over there, if you can hear that fluty thing, that's the hermit thrush. And that's that. I'll shut up and you can... Yeah, that's a hermit thrush.
That was a mosquito. A lot of people who care about the environment, I think, would say that the best thing for nature, for the environment, would be for the humans just to leave it alone. So would the forest be healthier if you did nothing to it, just left it alone? What would happen to it?
There are certain places that are so fragile that I think a hands-off policy is a good thing. But humans need wood. We use a lot of wood in our daily life. You could take 1% of this a year and use it for fuel, sell it for lumber, for paper. If everything is off limits, then we're going to export the need for producing products to places where there are not good environmental ethics behind the harvesting. And so we would just be exporting the need. I really, really believe in people using their land, using it well. And cutting trees done well is a perfectly good use of the woods.
So what else do you notice when you walk around the woods?
One of the things, we're standing right here where there's some exposed bedrock. And one of the things that makes the soil here particularly fertile and particularly good for growing sugar maples is that we have this bedrock that has a lot of calcium in it. It flakes very easily. You know, this is just, it's ready to break off. It's ready to melt into the ground. You just get a little rainwater on that and all of these nutrients go into the soil. If you compare that to New Hampshire, which has a granite bedrock, it does not erode well, and so it doesn't give up its nutrients. So the core of the soil there is nowhere near as fertile.
So does that mean Vermont's woods are better than New Hampshire's woods?
Well, of course. Of course. Look at that other big tree there. See the base of it?
There's a big kind of hole.
Yeah. Doesn't that look like if you were looking for some sort of, if you're looking for shelter, wouldn't you automatically go there if you would fit into that?
I mean, it looks like an inviting little doorway.
It does. Maybe we should go and see if there's anything in it. We might just see signs that something's in there. Oh, and you can smell it. Smell that. I mean, that just, it smells like there's urine around here. I can, if you put your nose in, you might not want to, but it definitely, there's life here. So I was just thinking that this tree is probably 200 years old. I just wonder, I just think of how many generations of animals have spent time in there, have found that to be great shelter for them.
Hmm. Yeah. So I wanted to, there's another, we're part of the ecosystem too, and when you're living out a portion of your life cycle here with your woods, caring for your land and walking in your woods, I'm curious about how that's affected your inner life, how you've changed over the years by living close to the land this way.
Well,
it's kind of a big question.
It is a big question. I'd like to think that it allows me to be more appreciative of the natural cycle of things, that it has helped me understand that life and death is all part of an endless cycle. Some things thrive in the circumstances in which something else died. A tree that falls provides room for something else to grow. Life and death are all part of the same thing, and understanding that, my understanding of that really is a result of spending time in the woods and looking at it directly on a day-to-day basis. So it can, if you feel like spending time philosophizing, there's plenty of rich veins right here in the woods.
Stephen Long, talking with Ann Strangechamps. He's the founder of Northern Woodlands Magazine, and he's just published an ecological guide to managing a forest. It's called More Than a Woodlot. You'll find links and photos and other good stuff on our website at ttbook.org. Oh, and all that bird song reminds me, to the best of our knowledge, is tweeting now, so come find us.